Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
What I think.
Yeah, that's that weather.
That adversely affected the economy was the cold weather, and I think we've had a dose of cold weather, and therefore technical problems have struck again.
Possibly. But it's been a fairly quiet day in the markets today. Not a lot of news coming out. It just seemed very odd. Not a lot of talk on Ukraine as far as the impacts, and the paper markets certainly were quiet, and it's all on Wall Street has been quite, even coming out of Washington and Wall Street, everybody is so bullish on growth here in this U.S. And I see growth in the U.S. as growing us right into the ground. But that's my view, my take, and how I analyze all the information out there and the reports that are given. And certainly John Williams is probably the man to go to when we're looking at a lot of the reports that come out of Washington. And I stand by his reports. You know, his numbers are good. They make sense. And if you try to pull them apart and, you know, perhaps make any type of change or an adaption to his numbers, you really can't because they're the truth. So,
well, the great thing about Williams' numbers is, number one, he's not trying to deceive us, and the government is with their official statistics. And Williams' numbers are consistent over time. They do not include revised formulas whenever it suits the government's need to put on a happy face. They just revise the formula. It used to be 2 plus 2 equals 4. Now it's 2 plus 2 equals 5. And who knows, next quarter, maybe 2 plus 2 equals 6. They change the formulas in order to get the results that they want. And the result is we can't find out what's really happening to the economy. But with Williams' numbers, we can get the same formula over a period of 20 years. And it shows us this is where we are in relationship to where we were a year ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. And that tells us whether we're going up or we're going down, and it removes the deception from the official figures and gives us a measuring mean, a method that we can use. It's not elastic. It doesn't change. It becomes reliable. And I doubt that many people know John Williams' name. And yet for me, he's one of the few heroes in this country right now. In the end, I think Williams has done more to affect the economy than Ben Bernanke has. Because Williams has told the truth and made it available. And people that are gurus across the country, I don't know of anybody that disparages Williams' numbers. everybody seems to think, yep, yeah, Williams is on. So, any case, Williams,
speaking,
good guy.
Speaking of on, have you been following the story of the airline, the Malaysian airline, that's
yeah,
gone
strange.
Missing?
Yep. Very strange.
How does that happen?
I have no idea. You know, it's one of those things you sit back and you really do wonder. In this day and age, even though the airplane was in Asia, I believe it was a 777, is that true?
It was a Boeing. It was a Boeing 777. And we should tell the listeners, in case there's some listeners that are not aware of this story, there was a disappearance of an airline, a Malaysian airliner. And I believe that was Friday evening. And it was an hour long. It was into an hour long into the flight going to Beijing, and it just disappeared.
No wreckage has been sighted so far. Nothing, just gone.
And I heard
that
they
tried. The Rapture. You don't think it was the Rapture, do you, Melody?
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah, because we missed it.
That means I'm still here.
We missed it. Should have stolen a passport and got on board. No, but I'm not trying to make light of this. This is a tragedy, and the rest I understand. But it is very strange. I mean, when we hear about NASA spying on telephone calls and email, and you would think they're tracking everything, including airplanes, and this thing was gone. I mean, nobody even knows when it disappeared exactly.
Which I find that so very hard to believe. You have all these satellites, and they track everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can go back. I mean, look how they've gone back and obtained pictures from an event that's happened, yeah, you know, several days ago. They cannot, of course, maybe their cameras are not pictured on that part of the world because maybe there wasn't anything there to be viewing in that area. I mean, I'm not quite sure.
They're not
exactly
as suspicious of the Asians as they are of the Americans.
No, I mean,
and
even
all the Chinese, it's the folks,
I mean,
in
all
America.
The tsunamis, all the tsunamis, they can go back and they can find pictures, you know, from all the satellites and you know, do the comparisons before and after. So, you know, they have access to all the pictures all around the world at any given point in time. And I find it hard to believe that they couldn't zero in something at that time. And
whatever the explanation is, it is very strange.
And I don't know if there is an explosion that high up at that altitude, whether things do they disintegrate when you're 30,000?
No, they don't disintegrate. They fall apart, but they still land in chunks. You take a jet engine that's made out of titanium and so on, that's a very, you know, it's not just a fragile little instrument. That thing falls like a bowling ball, right? And when it lands, it makes a hole in the ground. You don't just, I mean, there's parts of that plane. If there's a bomb that went off in the plane, for example, or there was some other sort of catastrophe that tore the plane apart, I guarantee the wings and parts of the tail assembly and the rest of that sort of thing, they're coming down in chunks. It's not just going to come rain down like confetti unless something really extraordinary took place. And even then, I would expect to find substantial chunks of that airplane. I don't find it anything so far. So,
very odd.
That tells me is I'm not riding on Malaysian Airlines again anytime soon, Melody.
Well, it is a tragedy for those people, and certainly it's always interesting. You know, you'll have the conspiracy theories begin, and you'll wonder who was on and who wasn't on. You know, who are the passengers?
Who are the passengers? And two of them had stolen passports. That was the compounding factor in this mystery. There were two passengers, or at least two, who were traveling on stolen passports. Now, in theory, that should have been caught when they applied for their seats, their tickets. Some people are alleging it was a significant security breach when it was not caught. You know, I guarantee you that the conspiracy theorists are going to look at it and say, that wasn't an accident. They did it intentionally because they wanted them on the plane so they could bomb them. Well, I don't know if that's true or false, but we'll hear rumors like that quite possibly before this is done. Mm-hmm. But it is pretty amazing that an airplane can fall out of the sky and leave no trace.
In today's world.
That's right.
10 years ago, 20 years ago, yeah, I get that. But in today's world, no.
Does this mean they're not listening to my phone calls, Melody?
I don't know. Hi, boys. Anyway, talking about global debt, let's talk about global things. Global debt exceeds $100 trillion as all these world governments go on a spending binge just to help their economies. And this is out of the Bank of International Settlements. The amount of debt globally has soared more than 40% to $100 trillion since the first signs of the financial crisis everyone has experienced. And governments have tried to borrow and borrow and borrow in order to pull out their economies out of the recessions. And
what's $100 trillion? They make a big fuss out of this. But the truth is, we are allegedly $200 trillion in debt. But the national debt, according to the Congressional Budget Office, isn't that the right number? Or am I? They're not just saying $200 billion, are they?
No, I mean I can't. And there isn't anything that's in debt $200 billion in today's world. You know, $200 billion. You know, might yeah, could be, but yeah, it can't be $2 trillion. Could yeah. be.
No,
can't
I believe
be 20
they,
trillion.
I believe government Congressional Budget Office has said it was $200 trillion in debt. Yeah, that's right, because the official debt is $17 trillion. Williams calculates it to be up in the neighborhood of $90 trillion, and the Congressional Budget Office has said, including unfunded liabilities, the national debt is actually over $200 trillion. So the idea, I don't understand. I saw that same report that you're reading from, and if they're alleging that the total global debt is $100 trillion, they're apparently not including whatever it is the United States owes.
Well, they're probably just calculating this between the from mid-2007 to mid-2013 as the increase, the $30 trillion increase.
Still, the article, I looked at it, and it seemed ambiguous to me. I couldn't make
it. But it doesn't really matter if the numbers are accurate. Even at $100 trillion, Al, it goes to show you, if that's what they put in, the countries, the governments are still not functioning to the level that they were, and they will not.
No, and they can't. And on top of which, however much they've put in.
That is the whole point.
Whether it's $100 trillion or $500 trillion, I don't know what the number is. They haven't had much success.
No. And the point is,
the economy at best is just kind of holding. You know, it's not necessarily, I mean, in places and patches it's recovering, it's getting stronger. But the overall economy, I'm not convinced that it's improving to any significant degree. It's holding, but it's not necessarily improving, or at least not significantly. So they haven't gotten a lot of bang for the buck on whatever they've invested.
No, they certainly haven't. And again, I don't think most people can grasp $100 trillion or $200
trillion. Most people can't even carry $100 trillion, let alone grasp
it. So, I mean, it's significant, and it has done nothing in order to help the world economies.
It may have done a great deal, but it hasn't amounted to much. That's the problem.
It's put in a bottom.
The fundamental problems are so enormous that even that much extra currency injected into the global economy is not sufficient to overcome the fundamental problems. Which is not, you know, another one of those things where you look at it and say, ha, ha, ha. You know, this is not cause for celebration. You guys are still in big trouble. And if you can't solve it with $100 trillion, how much do you need to solve this problem? The answer is probably more than they can create.
Absolutely. So again, these are numbers, and you can take them with a grain of salt, and certainly it'll match the numbers that we just talked about, John Williams and so forth. But even given by the Bank of International Settlements, $100 trillion is a lot of money. And it has done nothing in order to, and as we all know, we don't get the accurate numbers from these agencies, and I assure you and guarantee you the number is quite higher. It just goes to show they have done very little in order to jumpstart a lot of these economies. They might have put in a base, a bottom, to keep them, and of course you always bounce off the bottom a little bit when you hit rock bottom, but certainly I can't see that there's any sustainable growth in any governments around the world. Even China came out today with their manufacturing numbers, and it has shown that those numbers are lower, so that their exports are significantly lower. So
everything's closing down. I mean, anyone can look around and see the evidence. The leaves are blowing in the breeze, and it's not impossible to look at this and make a pretty good guesstimate of what's happening. Not a precise, not absolutely accurate, but pretty close, pretty good. And
China,
you can do that if you care to.
China's exports for last month slumped about 18%, which is quite a bit for a month.
It's a huge amount.
Yes. But it's the weather.
Yeah, I know. They must
it was the bad weather.
There too. Who would have imagined that it would get cold in the wintertime? It was unseasonably cold in the wintertime, see? Pretty amazing. Who would have thunk it? It'll be unseasonably hot this summer, this July. You can bet on that, too. And it's going to be unseasonably windy this spring and next fall. The leaves on the trees will be unseasonably colorful or perhaps colorless, but it'll be unseasonable, whatever it is.
But because of that report, them slowing down the 18% last month, you also had the soybean futures. They fell sharply today. Based on that news, China is a major buyer of U.S. soybeans. So any type of a hint of a slowdown will push some of those prices of the crop a little bit lower. So we did see that today. And I hear the music, Al.
Are you sure? If you did, then I guess that means it's time for us to break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Be back in a moment. Please stay tuned.
The aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here on Financial Survival with Melody Cedarstrom, program brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. For all your gold and silver coin needs, what you got for folks today, Melody?
We have a little silver package, 90% silver. We have little quarter bags, $25 face value. They are actually quarters and 50-cent pieces, a combination. But they can give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. 90% silver, $25 face value for $415. That includes all your shipping costs. So it's an incredible value, 1-800-375-4188. Visit our website, dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. Now, you can't purchase online, but you need to give us a call to get us locked, get your prices locked in. Packages are shipped by registered and insured U.S. mail, and we certainly ship faster and than anybody that I know of. And, of course, on bank wires, we ship immediately. And beware of those who take their time in shipping. I got an email from someone this weekend, and it was a timeline of Tolveen and his demise. And it, to me, they tried to sugarcoat the reasons why he went out of business. And it's like, you can't sugarcoat someone who does that to people. Everyone in the business that doesn't deliver product and then closes the door, and he's probably in some island somewhere enjoying the sunshine. I assure you, he got paid all these years. And so, to me, it's just not bad business that some guy has to file bankruptcy. This is a lot different. As far as I'm concerned, they know exactly what they're doing. No one should feel sorry for the guy. No one should sugarcoat to the fact that a lot of people have lost hundreds of thousands of dollars. Millions. So it is, and everyone in the business knew. You cannot ship. You cannot take orders and sell product lower than anybody else in the country. There is something wrong with that. If someone says you can buy Gold Eagles at $20 over spot, they're wrong. You can't. And so when you have these advertisements where they're giving things away and doing the bait and switches and delivering, mainly it's the delivery. Anybody who says 6 weeks, I wouldn't deal with them. 8 weeks, forget about it. And it's just amazing. And we tell people this day in and day out. Can't tell you how many times I repeat that on a daily basis. And how many times we say that on this program. But yet people still do it. It baffles me.
Well, it's because they see a lower price. They see a lower price, and they think they're saving some money.
It's kind of like the government. You know, they dangle the carrot out in front of your nose,
exactly.
And it works well for the first people in the door, but for the rest of them, forget it. So there isn't anything sugarcoated about what this guy did. He was a bad guy. It wasn't just a bad business decision. He knew exactly what he was doing. Exactly. And yes, perhaps the timing of the markets just put a little more pressure on what he was doing, but it was a Ponzi. New money was paying for old money or old orders. It's as simple as that. guy's a crook. You know, I can't say he was a crook, but I can't say that. So just forget that I said that. But Al, take it away.
I've already forgotten, Melody. I have. And I also, I can't say he's a crook either. All right.
No,
so let's just move on. And you folks in the audience, you can't say he's a crook. We can't say he's a crook. So let's proceed with the program. Here's one thing on silver sales, which is at least interesting to me. We talked about it a little bit before the program. Month to date, Mint has sold 2,000 ounces of Gold Eagles. That's just, that's correct. That's just in the first eighth, up until the eighth of this month. It's really the first week of the month. They've sold 2,000 ounces of Gold Eagles, 4,000 1-ounce 24-carat Buffaloes, and 1,100,000 Silver Eagles. Based on these sales by the mints, the silver-gold ratio checks in at 183 ounces of silver sold for every 1 ounce sold. That's at the mint. That's not necessarily the ratio for everyone who's selling coins throughout the country, but nevertheless, people are buying silver right now. 183 ounces of silver sold for every 1 ounce of gold. That's more than a direct ratio of price relative to price. It's considerably different from that, and it indicates that people are at the moment more interested in silver than they are in gold. And people have described silver over the years as the poor man's gold. It's the sort of thing that's a little easier to afford. Yeah, it's got a little more bartering potential and whatever because it comes in smaller units. There's certainly reason to think that silver can be more utilitarian than gold in a worst-case scenario. But a lot of people are buying silver because they are convinced that the price of silver will increase more rapidly than the price of gold. In other words, if you put $10,000 into silver and you put another $10,000 into gold, the silver will go up to be worth $20,000 when the gold is perhaps only moved to where it's worth $17,000. They are convinced that the price of silver is going to ultimately increase much more rapidly than the price of gold, and therefore silver is a better investment. No, I'm not convinced about that. I haven't been convinced about that for years. They think silver is going
convinced.
To a ratio of 15 to 1 relative to gold. 15 ounces of silver will buy 1 ounce of gold.
16.
I don't see it happening myself. They could be right, but I don't see it happening myself. And with all the demand for silver right now, 1,100,000 silver eagles compared to only 6,000 gold eagles and gold buffaloes, there's a disproportionate, there's such an enormous demand for silver, and yet the price is still only about 21 bucks an ounce. If these numbers are representative, it indicates that silver is not rising in proportion to the demand. Does that mean that the silver market is manipulated to absolutely restrain the price of silver, Melody, despite the demand? Or does it mean that the demand, that there's something in the fundamentals of silver, or even a demand that seems so large for silver, isn't sufficient to raise the price substantially? What do you think?
Both of these markets are small markets. They're very easily manipulated. And when you have a manipulated market, you buy on the fundamentals. And I hear all the time the ratio 16 to 1, buy silver. But that ratio is really a historic number. And I don't think it fits in today's world.
I believe
silver is a very... And then I get accused of not liking silver. And that is... that's... For people to say that, they don't know how I think and believe. Silver is very, very important in people's portfolio.
I agree.
But when you buy gold and silver, you buy it on the fundamentals. And I know I have many, many clients that are 100% vested in silver. They buy silver for the larger percentage increase. And every time they call to buy silver, I'll say, don't you want to buy some gold? Because I really do believe gold is there for a reason. It's a protector of your purchasing power. Silver is the price play. And you need to be positioned properly. I've known lots of clients who've had lots of silver, and they have lost lots of money because of the volatility of silver. Now, if they had played the silver market and had it offset with gold to provide a little bit of stability, and this is what you should be doing with your paper investments also, you provide gold and silver in your portfolio to provide stability against your paper investments, they'd be fine. But they're seasoned investors. They know what they want. They have the money to sustain the volatility, to offset any volatility that comes into the market. But there's a lot of people who aren't fortunate enough to have large sums of money, and they buy silver strictly for the increase of silver. And that's okay. But you should be given the option, and you need to know the difference between the two. Gold is your savings account. Silver is your checking account. You use gold as to preserve your purchasing power, and you use silver as you take advantage of the price increase, and you take advantage of the possible usage. And when it's time to use your gold or silver, you'll always want to sell it back into the market first. As long as you're able, as long as it can be shipped, as long as it can be given to someone in order to buy it, like myself, we buy gold and silver all the time. That is how you'll want to eliminate your gold and silver first. Then if you can't, then you will use your silver accordingly in your local community. And it really is, Al, I know you're ready to say something.
You don't know. I may not have anything to say. Maybe just listening quietly here, but I have one small thing to say. I've never trusted the idea that gold, or that's the ratio in price of gold and silver, is going back in close to 15 or 20 ounces of silver will buy 1 ounce of gold.
No, that won't.
Well, I won't say it won't happen. I'm just telling you, I'm not convinced that it's going to happen. That's not a prediction I'm willing to make. And part of the reason, and it's not a very good reason, but it's still a reason that I've thought for years, is that the price ratio of gold to silver, as engraved in the gold eagles and the silver eagles, is 50 to 1. Their ratio is that it will take, when they created the gold eagles and the silver eagles, they said, okay, gold eagle's worth $50 and silver eagle is worth $1. Now, that doesn't mean anything, all right? They could have put 100, they could have put 1,000, they could have put 2.5. It doesn't prove anything, but for me, it's an indication that people in a position to run this system and perhaps manipulate it intend that ultimately gold is going to be in the neighborhood, 50 ounces of gold will buy 1 ounce of silver. That's the implication. That was their intent, in my opinion. That was certainly their prediction, in my opinion, back when they started the silver eagles and the gold eagles. I said, okay, 50 to 1. And here we have, what is the ratio today, Melody? It's probably about 63 to 1. It takes about 63 silver eagles to buy 1 gold eagle. 63 ounces of silver to buy 1 ounce of gold. That's not so far from that 50 to 1 ratio. And I suspect, and it's not solid evidence, it's not something you can hang your hat on exactly, but nevertheless, I suspect that we will not see the ratio between silver and gold fall much below the 50 mark. Now, do I have good reason for that? No. Just that ratio that's engraved in the gold eagles and silver eagles doesn't prove anything. Flimsy evidence, may not be true, but nevertheless, for me, It's persuasive. Not proof, not compelling, persuasive. 50 to 1, I think that's where it's going to wind up. If it does, it means that silver is going to appreciate more rapidly than gold, but not to the extent that people think when they're predicting it's going down to 15 to 1 or 20 to 1. I don't think we're going to see that. 51? Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, what people don't understand is silver has been so industrialized, and silver is also acquired as a secondary metal. I mean, it comes out of the ground with other metals that they're actually mining for, and silver is a byproduct of some of these other metals. But I think it's the industrial use that might have messed up the silver's pricing a little bit, because as we see things slow down, you might see a little bit of pressure on silver, but I still believe that once we have this financial problem that we face become more apparent, I believe silver will take off like a rocket. But I think you're seeing the pressures. I believe they're manipulating it now, and it's really hard to really gauge the problems with the manipulation, with the COMEX, and everything else that's going on. But I definitely do believe silver is underpriced at this level. It's a great buying opportunity. And just as soon as these some sort of an event or you know, people talk about a reset, well, I'm not so sure the reset's going to happen this month. It could. Anything can happen with the various hot fires that are happening all around the world. It could happen tomorrow. What did Bob used to say? Possible, but not probable. But I do. I think silver will skyrocket. I think these are great, great buying opportunities for silver.
Well, I think it's a great buying opportunity for silver, and I agree that it's going to skyrocket, but it'll skyrocket at the same time gold is skyrocketing. And, you know, it's one of those things. Which will skyrocket? Which one is a bottle rocket and which one is a moon rocket?
It's so hard.
You know, they're all going to go up relatively quickly, but how far up and what are the ratios?
It depends. Sometimes you can get these big funds in there, and they can run silver easily. And they can run silver real quick. But that's the problem with silver. They can run it, and then they can drop it. And all these guys, a lot of these guys, I think that they promote a lot of silver. I mean, yes, again, I believe in the fundamentals. They bring a lot of great information to the table. But on the other hand, I also believe they're playing the silver market. And you can move these markets. If you get everybody on the same boat and go in the same direction, you can move the markets. And I think this is what they try to do. But anyway,
both to the music again. Frank is a compulsive music player. He's our producer, and Melody and I will be back here with Frank's permission in about 3 minutes on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click satellite system.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Folks, I'm Alfred Addis, Gear on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. And let's talk a little bit about the Ukraine. We can give you a little dose of what's really going on there. Here's an article from the Washington Times. It says Russia besieges Crimea as U.S. seeks diplomacy. Putin remains undeterred by Obama's sanctions. Sanctions? What sanctions? A week before the Crimea votes on whether or not to secede from the Ukraine, Russian forces Sunday ramped up their presence in the strategic region while White House officials clung to hope for a diplomatic resolution. Republican lawmakers and some former Obama administration officials argue that the U.S. tack of economic sanctions, visa revocations, and similar steps won't deter Russian President Vladimir Putin. But the White House believes there is still a way to resolve the crisis. Well, that's interesting. That's interesting language, and there, where there's hope, I suppose there's at least hope. But here's another article from the Washington Times. And this, to me, tells us the truth of the situation. We talked about it last week, and I wrote an article this week, this for this weekend's edition of the American Survival, simply saying, look, the government is out of schlitz. It doesn't have enough resources to get involved in a war over the Ukraine. That's all, and therefore it's not going to happen. They can gesture and use some rhetoric and say, oh, wait till I tell your dad, Vladimir Putin, you just wait till I tell your dad when he gets home. Boy, you're going to get such a whipping. Vladimir's not buying it. Because he understands, in my opinion, that we don't have the resources to proceed. So here is an article from the Washington Times, and here's the headline. To me, this offers truth. Right? As Crimea falls, Obama takes Key Largo golf vacation. Biden hits Virgin Islands. That's the headline. Right? This is a little bit of by their fruit ye shall know them. In other words, they can say a lot of things. People can say a lot of things. But what is their conduct? Their conduct will tell us who they really are. And what the conduct is here, according to the article, while Russia beefed up its forces in the Ukraine and the U.S. unemployment rate ticked up slightly, President Obama spent the weekend on vacation with his family at an ultra-exclusive private community in the four Florida Keys. Mr. Obama played two rounds of golf and luxuriated in the posh Ocean Reef Club in Key Largo, a solidly Republican enclave where members must have a minimum net worth of $35 million to join. The president, First Lady Michelle Obama, and their entourage traveled to and from the island in a squadron of five government helicopters, reportedly requiring a contingent of more than 50 Secret Service agents before returning to Washington late Sunday. Point I'm trying to make is that if Obama really thought the United States was going to be involved in the Crimea, do you think he'd be taking vacations? Do you think yes. Biden would be taking vacations? Shouldn't somebody yes. be managing the shop? If there's really something serious going on, shouldn't somebody be in Washington at the controls? And what we're seeing here is just evidence. Look, they gave up on that. They're not going to do anything over there. That's the implication. I can't tell you what will absolutely happen, but the implication is we're going to see more golf balls dropped than bombs in relation to the Crimea. If you want to get Obama's attention in the Crimea, build a golf course. If you build it, he will come. You understand? But other than that, ain't nothing's going to happen. We've got a call from Yvonne. What up, Yvonne?
Yeah, how you doing, Al? And
You're going in and out on us, because Yvonne.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. I had people in to check it out and the phone, and it's for some reason it's maybe NSA is listening in, you know. But anyway, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. We can hear you now.
Okay. The point is that, one, that presently Crimea is cut off from Russia as such, because it has to be, the food and whatever has to be supplied to Crimea has to be done by air or by sea. What I see Putin doing, that he might quiet his Crimea down with his election or the referendum this coming weekend, and then he will open a land route or a land bridge from east by moving troops or a pincer movement. But they have over 30,000 troops in Crimea. They might move troops, maybe 15,000-20,000 troops out from Crimea into the Ukraine toward the east area, and then come from east also to establish a land bridge between Russia and Crimea. Because by air and by sea is very easy. So they need to have an end route
Crimea. I'm a little skeptical about that prediction for this reason. I think Russia is right now prepared to simply seize the Crimea and call it to them. Okay, we got half a loaf, and that's all we're taking. Now, that land bridge you're talking about is going to have to go through eastern Ukraine. And I don't think he wants to cross them right now necessarily. It may be that they decide to simply feed and provide products and whatever by sea.
Are we going to supply power, electric power, and other stuff into Crimea?
Well, that's a good question.
Supplied by Ukraine.
Yeah, they can buy it. That'd be my guess. I would say that they're going to be unlikely to see.
Electric power needs to have power lines and generating stations.
I get that. I understand exactly what you're saying. And if I had to guess, and that's all it is a guess, I would bet that Russia turns around and says, look, let's make a deal. We'll take the Crimea, and you continue to sell electric power and whatever else over the land bridge. And I'll make a bet that the Ukrainians, if the deal is halfway profitable, the Ukrainians will take the deal. They'll advance. They will say, okay, to heck with that. We'll take the money. Behind door number one, you got money. Behind door number two, we have something like maybe the kind of tension that's conducive to a little bit of war. Which one do you want? Do you want the war or do you want the money? I'll bet they take the money.
Well,
just a guess.
Yeah.
Just a guess. I can't tell you. It's God's truth. It's just a guess.
Right. I mean, as far as, the economy of Russia is not that tremendous, great. So any money expended by air flights or shipment of food and whatever for the people in the Crimea by boats or ships and planes, it becomes quite expensive, and they'll need a land route one way or the other. Now, they could build a bridge between the strait between Russia and Crimea, which is a very short strait. Or water, where they can probably build a bridge across. But I think they are looking for a quicker
I agree, but still, I think they'd also like to just get this behind them right now. We're going to take the Crimea now, and we'll worry about the Russians. We'll worry about seizing the eastern Ukraine later. If they just settle for the Crimea right now, if they can figure out how to do that without touching eastern Ukraine, they leave that for 6 months, maybe a year. Then they get it. It takes all of the steam out of the current international concern. And it becomes deflated, things calm down, then later on they can move in and take the eastern Ukraine. That'd be my guess.
But we shall see. I wouldn't doubt it that they want to, you know, calm down the seas right now because of the mm-hmm. Crimea, mm-hmm. Which they are not going to give up. Now, it's going to be a question of how much, and like you were saying about Obama and everybody else, you know, what U.S., NATO, and so on should do is supply them with at least armaments. Okay,
they're not going to let. I'm going to make you a bet. They are going to let Ukraine go. It's going to be sacrificed, and other entities are moving in right now. You know, I looked at the demographics on the Ukraine. They are losing 150,000 people per year. They have a high death rate, a low birth rate. They have problems, extensive problems with alcohol, tobacco, environmental problems. They're all conducive to disease. There's something wrong in the Ukraine, and it is for reasons that are unknown to me. But there's something in their culture or their circumstances that currently makes them weak and perhaps even self-destructive. I don't think anybody's going to go to war to fight for a people that are perhaps busy to some extent in disabling themselves. I don't think that's going to attract anybody's attention. In the United States, I don't think there's anything we can really do. I don't think there's. We're not going to put boots on the ground. What are we going to do?
We could supply them just like we are supplying the cutthroats in Syria.
I get that.
Equipment.
But how are we going to get it to them?
Okay.
How are we going to get it to them?
How?
We're not going to send it to Europe.
Slovakia is right on a border. Hungary is right on a border.
I understand that. To what extent? And if we send arms in through those countries, what's Russia going to do to the supply of natural gas that's going to those countries? Europe is going to lose 25% of its natural gas supply if it participates in any retaliation against the Russians. Europe's not going to do anything.
The problem is, if they lose Crimea, they will lose their major gas and oil underground wells, which are presently in Black Sea. Black Sea is very important. There is a lot of natural resources which would be, which Europe could probably use for the, you know, for the support instead of getting into Russia.
They'll get them from Russia. I guarantee nothing's going to slow that down as long as no one does anything dramatic right now. The supply of natural gas that's going to Europe will continue unabated. There might be a couple bumps in the road, but it's basically going to keep on going. They want the gas. Russia wants the money. It's going to happen. And if the gas comes out of the Crimea, it's still going to Europe. Nothing's going to happen except the Ukrainians are going to be cut out of the picture.
Yeah, but you know, Ukrainians they have two big universities. One is a Catholic university, and now two big universities which Ukraine has very strong, graduates of
high education. Yeah, maybe so, but just the same, their economy, there's a problem there. Their life expectancy
because,
is diminishing.
Yanushenko and Chenko, who was, they are both crooked. They both were, did you see the house of Yanushenko?
I get that.
He took billions of dollars out of the economy for his own benefit.
And how is it going to come back? How will that billions of dollars come back? The IMF is making offers. They're saying, we'll lend you some money, but you've got to change the way you do business. You got to do what we say, and we'll give you some money. The truth of the matter is the Ukraine, from my perspective, is being carved up like a dead water buffalo on the African plains. Lions are there, the leopards are there, the hyenas are there, the vultures are there. They are going to scavenge the Ukraine, and I'll make a bet within a few years the Ukraine may not even exist on a map anymore. And I'm not saying it's right, I'm not saying it's good, I'm just saying it appears to me that this is a country that is, it's going to be carved up.
Well, I kind of died, but, let's see what happens. But the problem is that Ukraine has a deep history, okay? They are very Christian people. They are strong in faith and very nationalistic, okay? I mean, they fought under Stepan Bandera and others against the communist hordes, okay? And nobody brings up the Holodroma, where...
Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to have to bring it up.
Ukrainians died.
I get that. I understand there's all kinds of interesting things, but I'm still telling you, it's like seeing the water buffalo on the plains of Africa. The body is going to be consumed by predators and scavengers, and they are not particular about why the water buffalo died. They're going to feed on the carcass. I'm predicting that's what's basically going to happen to the Ukraine. Yvonne, we have to thank you for your call because we're out of time. I'm Alfred Addis.
All right.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. We'll be back tomorrow. Hope you will tune in at that time. And in the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, Yvonne, and Frank the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. There never seems to be a single penny left for me.